Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota has joined more than 30 other states in seeing vaping-related acute respiratory illness. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention advises Americans to forego vaping during an ongoing investigation into an epidemic of what they believe to be e-cigarette-related illnesses. Dr. Dan Heineman is with Sanford Health, and he's joining us with some insight and perspective. Dr. Heineman, thanks for being here today.
Good morning, Lori.
So how fast is this story changing, and how are, you know, medical professionals in South Dakota following it to get the latest updates?
Well, the CDC, as well as in our own organization, we've looked at the recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control and our South Dakota Department of Public Health, and even as recent as this morning, had a group gathered together from our whole entire enterprise to talk about this, to make sure that our clinicians understand that this is a possibility. We've had a patient at the medical center here in Sioux Falls that was diagnosed with this illness. But it requires physicians to just be aware that it's there so that they ask some additional questions and question their patient's course of the illness if it doesn't seem to be responding like a routine pneumonia that they think it might have been.
What do we know about this respiratory illness so far?
Well, we know that it is probably related to some reaction to inhaled chemicals and or substances, that it can be very confusing and look much like a typical respiratory illness and or even a typical pneumonia on X-ray and the clinical findings, but there's also some clues. So it is seen in patients who have been vaping within a certain number of days prior to the onset of the illness, 3 months, 90 days, and that there does not appear to be any improvement with routine standard treatments that one might start with if you think one has a pneumonia. So that's what we're trying to make sure our clinicians understand, ask those questions about the vaping, and if it doesn't seem to fit a traditional diagnosis of pneumonia, then probably need to entertain that this is a pulmonary disease associated with e-cigarette use.
And what do we know about the ages of people who are experiencing this illness now?
Well, it can really be a number, I mean, ages, adolescents on up through adults, because there's a significant increase in the use of these nicotine delivery devices, or what people call vaping devices. You know, what they are is a heater that converts the liquid in the device to a vapor, and you'll hear it called vaping an e-cigarette. And they're inhaling these substances, and there's toxic chemicals, there's heavy metals, there's maybe even small particles in that vapor that you're inhaling that seems to be causing a reaction in certain individuals' lungs, and that's what we're seeing with regards to this illness.
Nicotine delivery devices have been on the market for a while. Are there thoughts on why we're seeing this now?
I don't know that anybody can answer that question yet. Even the CDC is still trying to grapple with that and to trying to find out, is it that as enough people come in contact with these devices, we're seeing certain individuals have this reaction? Is it that that people are inhaling different types of chemicals? I don't know that the CDC in its evaluation yet understands the exact cause, and there's ongoing research in trying to understand that. And so then maybe there'll be better answers as to why some individuals who vape seem to have this issue.
So the FDA this week criticized the company Juul, who is a producer of nicotine delivery devices or e-cigarettes, for advertising that these are safer than combustible cigarettes or traditional cigarettes. And so we're having that debate too. Many people are using these devices as a harm reduction device. It's better than smoking a cigarette. Two questions come out of that. And the first one would be, are you concerned that more people will go back to, as a precautionary measure, people who are addicted to nicotine? Are you concerned about them going back to a cigarette, which has its own ramifications?
Well, both of them are addictive substances, and replacing one addictive substance with another isn't necessarily appropriate. Physicians have always felt that whatever the addictive substance is, we should try to reduce it and reduce our dependence on it, whether that's a nicotine delivery device and or a cigarette. We used to think that the cigarettes had more toxic and damaging chemicals and particles in them. I think now we're seeing that these devices may not be as safe as people thought. Medicine has never embraced them as an evidence-based way to stop smoking. We've always encouraged the patients who talk to us to get into evidence-based smoking cessation programs with approved and appropriate medications, the chewing gums, the variety of nicotine replacement strategies that have been out there, as well as some prescription medications that have been shown to be helpful. Those are evidence-based and do not appear to have a reduced harm profile, if you will. And so those are the things that we would recommend. And we would recommend if you want to continue or quit both or all of these devices, talk to your primary care clinician and or get involved with the quit line at the state of South Dakota or investigate what services are available in your community to help you stop smoking.
And Dr. Heineman, you mentioned the time frame, or you know, the people who are presenting with this illness have been engaged in vaping practices in the last 30 to 90 days. Is it possible then that somebody could quit now and 2 months later have a problem? Are we seeing that that's a possibility? Or I'm thinking of the people who are like, okay, I've stopped. When am I in the clear from watching for symptoms?
I don't know that anybody has an absolute answer, but it appears that it is a direct reaction to the inhaled chemicals. So one would think if you stopped inhaling those chemicals that the chance of having a reaction is diminished. I don't know that anybody knows if there's still a possibility to have a reaction after one has stopped. We encourage people to stop vaping. Not use any e-cigarette products. But I don't know that they understand the illness enough to say that once you stop, your risk is immediately zero. I don't know that we understand that enough yet to be able to say that.
At the meeting this morning that you mentioned with various people from across agencies gathering, what were sort of some of the questions and efforts talked about to spread the word to South Dakotans about the potential risks?
This was a meeting of within Sanford of a variety of numbers of our medical officers from our various regions, talking about what information we wanted to make sure we got out to our clinicians if they asked, what we would want to provide to our patients if they would ask. All of this is driven by the information we get from our state departments of health in the states where we practice, as well as the Centers for Disease Control and our experts in pulmonary diseases, et cetera. So this was in developing a message for our own clinicians within the Sanford system.
Thank you for clarifying. So the main takeaway is if you can stop vaping or not start vaping, do that. If you are vaping, don't use products off the street. Don't add anything to them, any chemicals to them like CBD oil. And watch for what kind of symptoms are you watching for and when do you call the doctor?
Well,
if this is something
it's really not very specific. It's a cough, maybe some pleuritic chest pain, that sharp chest discomfort you get when you take a deep breath, a little shortness of breath, So it's really, they're not very specific. And then you can also get a fever or chills or fatigue, which one might also get when you're coming down with, say, a pneumonia or a more serious respiratory infection. So it's, there aren't any specific findings. It's really in the history that helps a clinician understand that this may indeed be a vaping-related illness when a patient, if a patient doesn't have any history of vaping, more than likely the clinician is going to say, oh, probably a typical respiratory infection and or pneumonia, I'm going to treat you as such. Patient has a history of vaping, now the physician or clinician has an additional thing that they need to consider as a possible cause for the symptoms that the patient is experiencing and needs to treat accordingly.
Dr. Dan Heineman with Sanford Health, any final takeaways before I let you get back to work?
No, it's just, we're watching this carefully and trying to provide the best information to our clinicians, who then will in turn give that to the patients that they take care of.
We appreciate your time.
Have a wonderful day.